And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Welcome back. We're ending the day with an idea whose time has definitely come. Adam Levin, chairman and co-founder of Identity Theft 911 and Credit.com, and he joins us to talk about his Adopt a Loan program proposal. Welcome, Adam.
Thanks for having me.
Well, listen, I'm glad you are on because I had heard a little bit about this and had read a little bit about it, but explain what it is that you're talking about, because so many students in school with massive debt.
Oh, yeah. No, our student loan problem now is in excess of $1.3 trillion and growing, which is a terrifying number. As a matter of fact, it's several hundred billion more than credit card debt in this country. And something has to be done because, you know, there are some people who come out and say that debt really hasn't changed that much, that payments are not that different than they have been. But I see something going on across the country. I see economic issues arising because a lot of people who are burdened with this debt can't participate in the economy. They're living at home with their parents. They can't buy homes. They can't buy cars. They just can't participate in the consumer economy because every dollar they can get their hands on is being diverted to pay for loans, which are suffocating them. So I came up with a concept, and I'm sure I'm not the only person in the world that did. I mean, we have Adopt a Median, we have Adopt a Highway, we have Adopt all sorts of things in this country. And, you know, what about the concept of adopting a student loan where businesses and others can participate in a program where they can help someone pay off their student debt, and the quid for this would be that the student would pay into a fund that would be used to fund scholarships for other people or used to help reduce debt for other people over time.
Mm-hmm. And that's the point. You know, when I think about Elizabeth Warren trying to get things to change, you know, lower so that even the folks who had them beforehand can come in, get a lower rate, they're like, really? Why would we want to do something like that? The thought of trying to help others with less is just mind-boggling for this Congress, isn't it?
Oh, well, this Congress is mind-boggling in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who've gone to Washington with a specific agenda to do nothing and to make sure the federal government does nothing,
mm-hmm.
so that they can prove to the world that better the states should take care of things than the federal government, because we certainly know the states have done such a spectacular job so far. But, you know, we did a survey at Credit.com recently. It was the American Dream Study. And we were asking people, you know, what is their vision of what the American Dream is? What does it mean to them? And, you know, in the old days, the American Dream was always a house, a car, 2.5 kids, a cat, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We find in our survey now that the majority of people said that the American Dream is, first, being able to retire comfortably, and second, being able to pay off debt. And owning a home came in number three. So, I mean, this tells you that there's been a redefinition of the American dream because of all we've gone through in you know, the period of the past few years, the agony that people have gone through, the massive amounts of debt that weighed people down, the terrifying results of this in terms of the housing market and the economy, and anything that we can do to create a program to help relieve stress and bring more people back into the economy is something we should do. You know, I saw recently there was an op-ed in the New York Times where they were talking about the fact that in the Ukraine, they crowdfunded a drone.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can crowdfund a drone, why can't we look for ways to crowdfund a solution to debt in this country? It would be a quiver in the arrow. An arrow in the quiver. It will, you know, be a partial solution. It will help people. I know there are programs out there where, you know, corporations, a Starbucks just announced they're willing to offer a deal where they give partial help to people in their freshman and sophomore years, and then in their junior and senior years, The Arizona State University Online would provide 44% of the scholarships, and then the kids would take out the rest in loans, but then Starbucks would commit to pay those loans semester by semester as coursework was being done. There are other corporations to do this as well, but not enough.
Exactly.
Not enough. But now, to encourage corporations to do this, maybe the IRS gives some kind of, or Congress votes a tax break to corporations, a credit, for instance, for what they pay. But then again, remember, we're all now contributing to growth in the economy. So this is an idea. Also, as you know, people can give up $14,000 a year tax-free to anyone without eating into their $5.2 million shelter, as it were, after they die for inheritance taxes. Why not consider that when money is being used for education, although there's some programs out there, but even more, where money is being used for education of another, that there would be some kind of tax credit for the individual, or at least a raising of the $14,000 a year limit, so they could do this. I mean, the only way we're going to get out of this, and Senator Warren has talked about this, the president has talked about it, and many other people have talked about it, we've got to do this together. Exactly. It's got to be consumers, business, and government together. There's no us versus them in this deal.
Exactly. And even more so than that, at the same time, we're constantly pushing kids, saying, go to college, go to college, go to college. But at the same time, colleges just keep getting more and more expensive. And as you said in an article I was reading, that close to $30,000 is an average what the student's debt comes out. Still owing.
Correct.
For just a bachelor's degree. We were talking to a doctor on air one day, and he had couple hundred thousand dollars to repay, and then we wonder why people don't want to become doctors.
Well, I saw one recently where a dentist had something like $520,000 worth of student debt.
That's crazy.
Because obviously the student loans were used throughout the career. I think that a few things have to happen. One, I agree that we have to find a way to offer an opportunity for people to refinance their student debt.
Mm-hmm.
Two, we've got to allow for discharge in bankruptcy. You know,
right.
this is the reason why tuition inflation is out of control, is because this is a no-lose deal for the universities and in many cases for the lender, because there's no escape. You can't escape taxes and you can't escape student debt.
Yeah.
In bankruptcy.
Exactly.
And so therefore, I say to myself as a university, you know, it's like tuition run wild, and there's no moral hazard here on the part of the universities. They can do what they want to do, and they do it. And the other problem is that, you know, a lot of kids are going to school and getting degrees in things that don't necessarily put them in a position where they can earn after school enough money to pay their debts. So I have no problem with people rethinking, do I go to community colleges for a couple of years? Do I, you know, I look for more scholarship opportunities? And there are lots of scholarship opportunities out there. The sad part is a lot of people don't even know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've also, when the president signed the executive order about, pay as you earn, where instead of 15% of your discretionary income, they lower it to 10%. Which is good. That'll help more people. And instead of 25 years and then the debt goes away, 20 years or 10 years if you're involved in certain aspects of public service, these are all good things, but they don't solve the problem. They may help. They may widen the pool of people that may be eligible to get help. But we still need to rethink the way we charge for education in this country. We need to rethink the way that we counsel young people in terms of educational degrees. We have to come up with ways to inspire more young people to go into math and sciences and technology. And, you know, there should be incentives all along the way for everyone that participates in the process to make it a process that people feel comfortable getting into and don't reach the point where they regret the fact they did it, because even though their salary may be larger than someone who didn't get a college degree. The burden that they have to deal with to get that higher salary is so great that it may actually eat up the higher salary and then more.
Exactly. Once again, we're talking with Adam Levin. He is chairman and co-founder of Identity Theft 911 and Credit.com. And he is talking about the Adopt a Loan program proposal that he has. We've got a call from Keith in Ohio. Good morning, Keith.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm good.
Go ahead with your question.
Oh, okay. I was hearing the conversation and it just broke in.
Turn off your radio while you're talking to us.
I'm saying I was listening on the phone and I didn't realize you. Okay, yeah. My point is this. Colleges need to modernize their thinking relevant to what's needed in the workplace. They run historical curriculum rather than running curriculum that is going to benefit a kid graduating such that he can get a job. I was hearing your commentator make a similar kind of statement that kids are taking things that's not relevant to them even making a livable wage anymore. That's point one. Point two, they're like a corporation. They're a business. I mean, what kind of sense does it make for a student to pay $200 for a single textbook? That's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And these universities allow these professors to market their own material, saying that this is the best thing since sliced bread, and it's wrong. I mean, there's so much wrong with the college program today that you could spend a whole day talking about it. And then when you flip the whole script around, how should we deal with education in general? That then has to go back all the way to the pre-college days when you train a kid through elementary, junior high, and high school. I mean, with the technology we have today, I feel and think that a kid could get a high school education, I'd say, by the time they're 12, 13 years old, based upon all of the technology and the flood of information that is available from an electronic perspective.
Adam, I'll let you jump in on that one.
Well, no, I happen to think, you know, one of the things that I've noticed is that, and, you know, I have a 22-month-old. Actually, he's 23. He'd be upset that I made him too young. 23-month-old child, and I watch the way he uses his iPad and laptops and things like that at 23 months. I mean, I was terrified of a computer until I was probably 19. So I think that young people have the capacity to absorb and learn so much more. I mean, look at all the people that dropped out and created billion-dollar companies. But mm-hmm. I think they have the capacity to learn more. I think we have the, you know, an opportunity to even teach young people more and to help improve their skill sets. One area that has been a great concern to me for a long time is financial literacy.
Exactly.
In America, we are still, as a population, regardless of income level, education level, whatever you want to put it, we're woefully financially illiterate, and that we really need to work on that. And yet, if you look around the country as to where educational institutions have prerequisites to degrees versus an elective versus nothing, it's just shocking to see that there hasn't been. People are talking the talk about financial literacy because they're scared to death after 2008, but a lot of them aren't walking the walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, that's right, man. That's right.
And in fact, the more financially literate a young person is, the more they will understand the ramifications of getting the wrong loan, getting too many loans, putting yourself in a situation where you're never going to be able to earn enough to pay off that loan.
Right.
Well, here's my last point, and I'll get out of the way.
No problem, Keith.
Somebody has to do something, either the government or some pressure by everyday people, to pressure these universities to see the fact that they are a nonprofit organization. They are a not-for-profit corporation where they're constantly upgrading their salaries, increasing the amount of the money that a kid has to pay to go to school. I mean, it is about preparing and developing the major resource of a society, which is youth and being educated so that you can contribute and give back to the society. They're not a major corporation.
I agree with you there, and but I also feel like so many businesses should reach out and be helping along too. You want to hire somebody, then help them go to school too. Listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, thank you for your comments, Keith, and we'll continue talking about it when we come back with Adam Levin. He is chairman and co-founder of Identity Theft 911 and Credit.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. I want to.
You're listening to The Maggie Linton Show on SiriusXM Urban View. We'll be right back. And now, let's join Maggie Linton on SiriusXM Urban View.
Well, welcome back. We continue with Adam Levin. He is chairman and co-founder of the Identity Theft 911 and Credit.com. And we're continuing to discuss a Adopt a Loan program proposal that he has out that makes a whole lot of sense. But I want to go back and talk about something we were talking about just before break, and that's financial literacy. We can't expect the students to do it if the parents don't have it, can we?
No, I mean, that's the real problem is that, you know, a lot of people say that financial literacy should be taught in the home. Well, there's a problem with that, and that is that nobody taught our parents, in most cases, about financial literacy, and nobody taught their parents. And that, you know, even though there is a great deal of information out there right now about financial literacy, the important thing is how to find it, how to organize it properly, and then how to be able to utilize it effectively. And it's just, it's something that we really need a great deal more emphasis on.
Exactly, because this country wouldn't be in the massive debt that it has, number one, if, well, the middle class has paid for things for so long. We weren't giving huge tax breaks to companies, but if people just learned how to handle their money better, they would not be in the dire straits that there are so many of them are in.
Well, and you know, I've said to people for a long time, look, you have to. And credit is a perfect example of the whole financial literacy issue, is to say that, you know, you've got to stop looking at credit as something that happens to you, that you've got to start looking at it the fact that this is a portfolio. And just as you would hope that a professional money manager would be managing your money, you need to be the professional manager of your credit portfolio. And this means you need to look at your credit reports. And you can get them free at annualcreditreport.com, which is a government-mandated site. You can come to sites like credit.com, where you can see a free version of the top line of your credit, as well as get two free credit scores that are updated every month. It's free. There are other sites out there like that. You can, you know, you need to do things like look at your bank credit card accounts on a daily basis to make sure that every transaction you see is yours, and that especially when you're dealing with credit, that you're not getting too close to the line so that you're impacting your credit score because you're using too much of your available credit. And the truth is, you can also sign up, and people don't realize this, that there are programs available right now with financial institutions, banks and credit card companies and credit unions, where you can sign up for what's called transactional monitoring. And that means that every time a transaction occurs in your accounts, you will be notified. Now, you can say, don't bother me for anything under $100. That's fine. But the key thing is you need to be aware of what's going on in your financial life, because if you get too close to that line, you could get yourself in trouble, or you could find out that you're a victim of identity theft, which can really turn you upside down. But the reality is this. Your credit profile should be a resume. It should not be a rap sheet. And you have the ability to make it a resume, but you just have to do a little bit of work. But this is an investment you're making in yourself. Mm-hmm. And these are the kinds of things we should be telling people in high school and in college, as opposed to waiting until they dig themselves into a hole in college and then have 7 years of woe while they're trying to establish their life and juggling student loans.
Well, just as we do reading, writing, and arithmetic, finances should be part of what we learn. And you said high school. I'm saying even before then. My parents raised me, and I know people have probably heard me say this many times, but if we got money as a gift growing up, half of it went into the bank. The other half was what we could do with what we wanted to. And that was the way we were raised and paid cash for our pretty much everything. And that's the way this country has to get kind of back into that more than anything. And it has to start with the citizens.
No, absolutely. And, you know, I understand the cash psychology. And, of course, Dave Ramsey and I have these debates, mm-hmm. at least not face-to-face. I've never met him, but I find him fascinating. And we don't agree. You know, I believe, for instance, that it's very important for a young person as early as possible, and, you know, early as possible has changed based on the Credit Card Reform Act and the fact that it's put some regulations on the way that institutions can market credit cards to young people, because in the old days, if you could fog a mirror, you could get a credit card. And unfortunately, a lot of kids ran into problems.
Exactly.
But the one thing that you have to understand about credit, there's a big, and this is a big distinction. As part of your financial literacy education, you have to learn the difference between credit and debt.
Yes.
It's a good thing to build credit, and it's a good thing to have good debt that you pay responsibly. It is not a good thing to have suffocating or bad debt. And therefore, you know, you need to know what creates a credit score. Five elements, real simple. Number one, pay on time. And if you can't trust yourself to pay on time because you forget dates, then have an automatic debit from your bank account so that you pay on time. The second thing is you don't use too much of your available credit, because the more you use, the more that lenders get very nervous about the fact that you could become a risk. So you have to keep that under control. You need a nice credit history. You need a nice mix of accounts. You can't run around looking like you're, you know, trying to get credit every which way you possibly can. That makes people nervous. That impacts your credit score. And the reason why all of this is important is this is way beyond homes and cars. We're living in a world now where everything you do in one way or another is touched by credit. So unless you're going to live in a log cabin on Loon Lake, you're going to need to understand how to build it. It's to the point now, as you know, when you go for a job, employers, while they're not allowed to see your credit score, they do have a right, if they want, with your permission, you have to consent to it, to see your credit report.
Mm-hmm.
And some people go, well, the way they want to do it, because they want to see if you're a good manager of your money, you're responsible. And I say, sometimes they want to look at it because they want to see how self-aware you are. We all know there are credit reports out there. We all know at one point or another we either have or will have them. It's important for us to get them, look at them, make sure the information on them is correct. If it's not correct, then we contact the reporting agencies and make sure it's corrected. And if it is correct, you know, as Will Smith said in Pursuit of Happiness, to the question, what would you say if a man walked in for an interview without wearing a shirt and his response, he must have had one heck of a pair of pants? Well, the reality is, if I have a problem on my credit report, I need to be able to look at a prospective employer in the eye before they pull the credit report and say, let me tell you what you're going to find. Let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you why it happened and what I'm doing to rectify it. You know, these are the kinds of things that people look to. Because, again, an employer will say, if you're not willing to protect yourself because your credit report is such an integral part of your life, like it or not, then I can't trust the fact that when you're my employee, you're going to look to protect me.
Mm-hmm. Very true. And it makes it tough, doesn't it?
No, it does. You know,
no, I meant for those who are not moving forward with their making sure that their I's are dotted and T's are crossed when it comes to credit. I work mostly on a cash economy, but I'm blessed. But let me tell you, I still have a credit card. And when I look at people who are 35, 40 years old and they still don't have a credit card because they've been in so much massive debt, I just shake my head and go, oh, OK, you weren't paying attention, were you?
No, and again, and there are ways to build, you know, credit without a credit card. There are, for instance, deals available for young people on their first car.
Mm-hmm.
So you get your car, you get the loan, you pay responsibly. There are opportunities where, let's say, you have a small amount of money in a bank in a CD. Go to the bank and say, look, I would like to take a loan out against the CD. That's going to be the security.
Okay.
And then what you do is you make sure over a relatively short period of time you pay it back. You do that a few times.
All right, listen, can I have you back on again another time? Let's talk about credit.
Absolutely.
All right. Good. I've got that assurance. It is Adam Levin. He is chairman and co-founder of Identity Theft 911 and Credit.com. More on his Adopt-A-Loan program at his website, Adam Levin, and that's LEVIN.com. Thanks to all my other guests and also to my producers, Adele Coleman-Williams, Tony Fowler, and intern Tylea Williams. Have a blessed rest of day and weekend. Until next time, seek peace and spread lots of love. I'm Maggie Lynn.